Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Sasha Poignonec. He is the CEO of one of the hottest and most talked about IPOs of 2019, and that is Jumia Technologies. Stock symbol on the New York Stock Exchange is JMIA. Sasha, welcome.
Thank you, Jack. Great to be with you.
Sasha, in case people may not be familiar with the company, can you tell our audience exactly what Jumia does and how the idea to start the business came about?
Of course, we are the leading e-commerce platform in Africa, and when we started the business 7 years ago, we looked at the world and we were seeing that. In America, in Europe, there's Amazon. In China, there's Alibaba. In Latin America, there's Mercado Libre. And we looked at Africa, and we thought that Africa was the perfect playground or the perfect place to start a similar business, which would help the consumers access the goods and the services from the sellers in a continent where you have a huge population and where the distribution of goods and services is not easy. And thanks to technology, we are making this distribution more efficient, at least we think so. And on the back of that, we have created a platform which is centered around e-commerce, of course, but also has multiple components, including payment.
So, Africa, right now this is the last frontier for for the e-commerce or the internet world. And you have this, exploding middle class right now, and China and is obviously they want to get a piece of that market. I think from what I understand, the payments and logistics is kind of one of the challenges on that continent. So we'll kind of cover that part and how you're serving your customers there. But what are some of the products and services that you're offering right now?
Yeah. So, in Africa, there's, as you say, last frontier, I like the way you put it, there's 1.2 billion people in Africa. And one of the things which has been enabled by the development of the smartphones and broadband is that there are in Africa 450 million internet users today, which is more than half of China, just to give a sense. And if you're a consumer in Africa today, there's limited traditional retail. Because of the infrastructure of Africa, there's less stores in Africa. And as a result, the consumers have generally less choice or less selection or less access to the products. And we have made it possible for the sellers and the brands to really distribute their products to the population through technology in what we think is an efficient way. And as a result, consumers are using Jumia to buy a very, I would say, very wide range of products, goods, and also services. We have an online food delivery platform, for example, which is very successful. And people buy on Jumia, the consumers, they buy a lot of different goods from fashion to electronics, mobile phones, also grocery, a lot of fast-moving consumer goods, home and living products. It's a very, very, I would say, wide type of usage from the users. And now with the payment platform, they also use Jumia to, for example, recharge their airtime. In Africa, you have to buy some data to recharge your data plan, and they also do that on Jumia. So it's very diverse and very wide assortment and usage of the consumers.
So you mentioned something interesting. In Africa, most you said there's 450 million internet users now. Are most of those using their mobiles, their phones to access the internet? Have they primarily leapfrogged the desktop?
True. We have about 80% of the traffic is taking place on mobile. And this is the primary way to access, of course, websites and web apps and applications. And Jumia is no exception. Most of the traffic is coming from mobile. We have about 20%, which is taking place on the desktop. So there's still of course, in the offices and, you know, at home, there are some computers, but a lot of it is happening on mobile. And the smartphone adoption in Africa has been very rapid and very effective. So this is definitely something which is a strong tailwind for us.
What's your customer demographics? Can you describe who your typical customer is? Is it people in urban, or are they more in the rural areas? You know, what's their age and all that? Do you have that info that you could share?
Yeah. It's a good question. We don't disclose precise demographics, but we have disclosed some of our geographical split in terms of city, and it's very interesting. Overall, we have about 50% of the businesses taking place, or the packages are being shipped in the primary city, and we have about 50% outside the primary city. And there you have a mix of secondary cities or smaller cities, but you also have rural areas where we see quite a lot of business, and in those regions or those districts, you have very little retail or very informal. And for those consumers, Jumia really provides an access and a way, I would say, for inclusion to really have access to all the goods, because the selection for a consumer in a big city is the same as a consumer in a remote area. And this is for us a great opportunity to serve those consumers who have otherwise less access to retail. In terms of age and gender, we see very much, of course, the young people. They are all not all, but a lot of people are already online, and because they were born with the internet. And the consumers who use Jumia are really the consumers who buy products. So you can think about anyone who has a household and has a job or has some kids or has a very middle class type of profile. And it's always surprising when I meet with consumers. I meet a lot of moms. I meet a lot of working class. I meet a lot of students as well. It's very diverse, and we have quite a number of women. I meet in my focus groups, I always meet a lot of women as well who are very savvy and very have a strong appetite for e-commerce.
So which countries do you operate in right now?
We are in 14 countries, and in Africa, there are 54 countries. It's a lot of countries, right? And with those 14, we cover about 75% of the GDP and about 75% as well of the internet users. So for us, with those 14 countries, which are very diverse, we have a very, very good coverage of the continent and of the opportunity. So we, as a result, we are quite focused on those countries, and we are not trying to cover, you know, necessarily all the countries, but rather focus on the ones which provide the biggest chunk of the opportunity. And the beauty of this Pan-African presence is that it provides a lot of benefits to us. Number one, it provides very attractive diversity. And Africa is still, of course, among the emerging countries, the countries of Africa are the emerging countries. And it's important for us to be well diversified and have a lot of diversity so that we are protected from the macro changes which can take place. And then it offers also very attractive positioning with the brands. We have a lot of partnerships with big brands who are using Jumia as their gateway to Africa. For example, recently we signed a partnership with Xiaomi, the Chinese mobile phone. We signed a partnership with MasterCard. We signed a partnership with Pernod Ricard, the spirit company. And it's very attractive for us to be in those countries. And we get also to of course, get a lot of economies of scale because we operate one platform and we are able to amortize it across multiple countries. So it's something that we are very excited about.
Okay, so you cover roughly 75%, I guess you said, of the population and the GDP. So the population of Africa,
correct,
is,
the
I think...
internet users.
Oh, the internet GDP. Users, okay.
Yeah.
So the population is, I think, roughly, was it a little bit over a billion? How many consumers do you have in your system right now? Like, how many customers do you have in your database?
Yeah, so we just published recently our latest Q1 numbers, and in the last 12 months, 4.3 million consumers placed transactions with Jumia. So it gives you a sense of the potential that we still have ahead of us. If you look at the penetration of e-commerce according to external studies, it tells you that less than 1% of the retail sales are taking place online. And if you look at our own numbers, 4.3 million consumers have transacted on Jumia over the last 12 months, and that compares with, in our 14 countries, about 400 million internet users. So, you know, and 700 million people. So, of course, we believe that this opportunity is really ahead of us, and we have a lot of opportunities to drive the user base and the active consumers in the future.
So you've basically penetrated roughly 1% of the internet users so far, the online users.
Correct. In customer. Our countries, yes.
Okay,
correct.
And I noticed one of the things you have is I looked at your site. You also offer travel services. I mean, a lot of product services, everything. What percentage do you have a breakdown of what percentage of revenues the services are right now, or what do you see that being in the future?
We have published that in our prospectus. We have about roughly 15% of the business is taking place on those services. We call them online services. And one of the most popular is food delivery. And we operate a platform which includes a section called Jumia Food, where consumers can order from their local favorites as well as the international chains. And this is very popular. Just like, in America, the other Uber Eats or Grubhub and those companies. And for us, it's a service which is very attractive. We also have, as you pointed out, travel booking and hotels and flights. And the consumers, they see Jumia as a destination for them to access any type of service or buy products which are relevant to them. And they don't necessarily see Jumia as a supermarket, but rather as a platform where they go and they can do a lot of different things. And they have seen, and they were born, if you will, or they had access to Jumia throughout those years. And they're very used to seeing on Jumia also different offers than just physical goods. And for us, it's a great complement because it brings attractive business, because those categories of food delivery and travel hotel bookings are very attractive from an economical perspective, but they also for us create the stickiness, because on Jumia there's something you can do every day, and it's not only about buying products but also about accessing other services which can drive the consumer relevance and the consumer lifetime value over time.
So it's almost like you're a combination of Amazon, PayPal, Alibaba, Priceline, all kind of rolled into one in Africa.
You said that. I think it's a good summary, but certainly, I mean, our goal is always to say, what do consumers want to do? And let's help them do it, right? And I can understand why you would make that comparison.
So, one of the key challenges, in Africa is logistics and also, payments. So can you kind of discuss, how you're handling, those two areas?
Of course, it's a very good question. Those payments and logistics are key components to make e-commerce possible, right? The way we decided to tackle logistics is to really create a logistic platform which is based on three components. The first component is technology. The second is a network of physical locations, which include warehouses and what we call drop-off stations for the sellers to drop off their packages. And those assets we rent and we operate ourselves with our own employees. And then we have, for the delivery and the transportation, we have a very extensive network of partners who are local partners who have the very strong knowledge of the local specificities, and we are providing those partners with the technology platform, which is our own platform, and they can use our technology and our data and our processes, but they can use their assets. So if you will, you have to think of us as really, we are asset light, but we have this very strong control over the logistics because we provide the data platform and the technology, and we work with multiple large number of local partners. But at the same time, we offer those physical locations, which are very important for us to control the volume and the seller experience. I don't know if that answers your question. I'm happy to go into more details.
Okay.
And then on the payment perspective.
Sure. You know, maybe you could talk about like the last mile component, of the delivery, and then we'll get into payments.
If you're a consumer and you order items from Jumia, let's say in a secondary city, right? So you live in a city where there are, 25,000 people, and you order on Jumia. How it would work is that in most of the time, the seller would basically prepare the packages, and you would drop those packages into a station which is controlled by Jumia. And from there, what we do is we consolidate and we control the volume and we use data, and then we dispatch those volumes with partners who are outside third-party partners. And we work with, as I said, hundreds of those who are all integrated in our technology. And then those partners would do the transportation between the seller and the last mile hub. And then the last mile hub, we work with local partners. And those local partners, they have the assets, but they also have the knowledge. And so in this city, there would be a couple of partners, for example, and they would basically use the Jumia delivery app, and they would use the Jumia processes, and they would be able to deliver the packages because they have really the strong local footprint, but they do it under the Jumia standards. So as a consumer, you would not know whether, which partner is going to deliver to you, but it would be seamless to you because we have all integrated that with our technology. I don't know if that, okay. I hope that answers your question.
I think I saw on your site, or saw an image of sort of like a, I guess like a motorcycle type of a delivery cart, mm-hmm. if you will, which was branded with Jumia. So from the consumer side, I mean, they basically see a Jumia delivery person, right, with branding, the Jumia branding.
It depends. It's true. So we allow some of our partners to use the Jumia brand on their vehicles when they can guarantee us that they can provide the security of their drivers. And one of the important aspects for us is to really protect the drivers from our partners. And we want to make sure that when they branded Jumia, they are able to channel the volume into areas where of course it is very safe for the driver. So for us, it's all about we let the sellers or the partners, do that when they can and when they want, of course, provided that the security of the driver comes always first.
Okay. So how about the payments? Maybe you can address that.
Yeah, exactly. So when we started the business, we really wanted to help consumers get started. And for many consumers, it was the first time they were buying something online in Africa. And as a result, we created cash on delivery. And we enabled everything to work under cash on delivery. And today, it's still the majority of the business is taking place cash on delivery, meaning that the consumers give the cash to the driver and get its product in return. Of course, we observed that everywhere in the world, Mercado Libre has created the leading payment system, Mercado Pago. eBay has created PayPal. Alibaba has created Alipay. So for us, we decided 2 years ago that when we thought that the consumers were getting used to e-commerce, we launched Jumia Pay, which is essentially working. You can think about it, if you will, a little bit like PayPal. Consumers can create a Jumia wallet by linking any of their local bank or local credit card or local mobile money to their Jumia wallet. And we launched Jumia Pay in Nigeria and Egypt. And after a couple months, during the last quarter of 2018, more than 50% of the transactions in those two markets were paid with Jumia Pay, which is great for us because it validates the fact that because we operate the marketplace, we are really able to drive the adoption of Jumia Pay. And of course, we are leveraging the adoption of JumiaPay to create more opportunities to distribute financial services, but also to use JumiaPay as a third-party payment service provider in the future.
Okay. So what's the competitive landscape like? Are there other players, you know, in the space, and how do you differentiate yourself?
We really are the only Pan-African player with this type of presence and this type of business models. There's some competition in some markets, of course, and we really focus on making the experience for the consumers and for the sellers very, very adapted to the local specificities. You know, at the end of the day, e-commerce, it's a simple idea, right? It's a simple idea on paper. In reality, it takes a lot of local adaptations to make the sellers' platform work, the consumers, the brand, the execution, the marketing, the payment, the logistics, and getting this right for markets like Nigeria, Morocco, Senegal, Kenya is very, very specific, right? So we've really tailored and the local execution, and we are exclusively operating in Africa. That's all we do. And every day and every morning we wake up because we want to make it better for the local sellers and for the consumers. And, that's the difference, because that's all we do. And we have put so much focus and so much energy and so much passion, I would say, in making this possible for the specificities of Africa. So I think that's really how we differentiate ourselves, by bringing more value to the consumers and the sellers.
Sasha, what do you see as your biggest challenges and opportunities over the next few years? I mean, you've raised a bunch of capital. You know, how will you kind of deploy it?
We are currently really, I would say, focused. And as we discussed during this interview, we have this huge market which is untapped, and we are in the right markets. We have the right product offering. We have the right business model. And for us, it's really all about continuing to drive the adoption of Jumia and the usage of Jumia in our existing markets, and drive both the growth of the company together with the profitability profile. So we can say that we are really capturing, and we are really making the best of the opportunity. Then, of course, we have more growth and value creation drivers in the future, and payment is one of them. There's more countries that we can do, and there's more business models or verticals that we can launch. But for now, we are very focused, I would say, and really driving the adoption of Jumia in our existing markets, making sure that every quarter we are able to drive more adoption. And as we do that, it's not only about adoption, but also drive monetization and cost efficiency, so we can build the path to profitability.
So on that point, when do you anticipate reaching break even and start turning a profit?
So we don't publish long-term targets, and we have given guidance for some of our indicators for 2019. We have 7 research analysts who are covering us and have published their view of the projection. So I would here have to refer your readers and you to those research analysts to review what they think about the path to profitability.
Okay, so Sasha, what's your, in terms of the big picture, what's your vision for Jumia, 2-3 years out? What will the company look like? Assuming everything goes right, of course.
Yes, of course. I would really want that we deliver on our strategic priorities and pillars, which are continuing to drive the adoption. So I would want to see more users, more GMV. I would want to see more monetization of this GMV as we go forward. And we already, of course, monetize, but I would want to see a continuous increase in monetization, a continuous increase in our profitability profile, so we get on a very clear path to profitability. And I would want to see more progress and strategic progress of the penetration of JumiaPay. Those are really the four pillars of our strategy, and we are very disciplined. We want to really focus on those, and 3-4 years from now, really see a lot of progress on those four. And then there's a lot more ahead of us. But for now, it will be those four.
Sasha, I have two. I know you have another appointment, so I have just two questions left here. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your background and some of the key members of the management team.
Of course, I started this business together with a number of people. Of course, we were a number of very passionate people starting this business originally in Nigeria, in Egypt, in Morocco, in South Africa. And Jeremy, who's the co-CEO with me, we are two co-CEOs, and we've been, doing this from day one. We have a great team around us. We have in each of our markets a very strong local CEO who is really driving the business with us. And then we have also a strong team from a functional perspective in terms of finance and HR and of course, the tech and the technology and logistics. So we have a mix and a combination of very strong local leaders and very strong central leaders around us. And for example, in Nigeria, I have a great CEO. Her name is Juliet. She's very famous now because she rang the bell with me and with us. But in each market, we have great CEOs who are driving this opportunity with us. It's a very exciting mission that we are on.
Sasha, my last question is, in your opinion, what are the top three reasons that investors should consider Jumia today?
I think they have to look at really the I would refer them to the prospectus to that, of course, because it's important that they really review this. I think in the prospectus, we have really explained that we have this very strong and huge opportunity in terms of market opportunity, right? And a business can only be as big and as good as the market that it addresses. And I think that's, number one. Number two is I think the business model that we have is a very, straightforward business model, which has been effectively working in a number of other regions. And they can refer to a lot of learnings that have been taking place in some of the other regions. And then I think the third part is that I think over the last 2 years and in also Q1, the first quarter of this year, we have really continuously delivered on our strategy, which is to deliver on those four pillars. We have continued to grow the GMV, grow the users. But we have not only done that, we have also done a lot on monetization and cost efficiency. And we have clearly started to make some very strong progress on JumiaPay. So if you look at this on this full component, I think you can see the progress which we have been making. So if you put those three things together, I think it leads me, at least personally, to be excited about that business. And I hope more people share that.
Sasha, on that note, I want to thank you, and we look forward to hearing more from Jumia Technologies in the coming months.
Thank you, Jack. It was a pleasure.